Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock school. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Booyah.
Your man's not in love with you.
He's mad at you.
Can we please go?
And Chad P.
It's about Spumoni.
Spumoni. I have no idea what Spumoni is.
Class is in.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Rock School on KSLU and also on our good friends up in Connecticut. They are
88.1 FM WESU Middletown.
Fantastic. My name is Joe Burns. I am a professor in the Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University, where we happen to be broadcasting from. Sitting to my immediate right, a former student, one who must learn. Introduce yourself, young man.
Chad P.
Let me tell you where this show came from today. It was the coming together of two things. I was reading, synchronicity, if you will. I have a book at home called Jabberwock. You ever heard of it?
Jabberwock?
Jabberwock.
No, can't say I have.
It's a book of famous quotations by rock stars.
Okay.
And one of the ones that I read by Michael Stipe, I'm not going to have it quite right, but it basically states, so I'm into this song, and I find out that it's about a dog on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Just a dog on the highway? What do you mean a dog on the highway? This song changed my life and it's about a dog on the highway? He basically states that so many times people get wrapped up in music and they find out that the song has nothing to do with what they actually think the song has to do with. I mean, they've absolutely missed it.
You betrayed me.
That's right. I thought this song was about love. What do you mean it's about a Hershey bar?
It's about Spumoni.
Spumoni. I have no idea what Spumoni is. Then I'm reading another book. I read these books called Bathroom Readers.
Have you ever seen them? John,
I love them.
Four of them.
I absolutely love them. And they had a little thing inside there, one of their little four-minute pieces called Trojan Horse Songs.
Okay.
And they basically stated, here are songs that you think you know what they mean.
But you don't.
But they don't mean that at all. And I thought, well, with that Michael Stipe quotation and this Trojan Horse Songs, are there 14 or 15 songs that you think you know exactly what they mean, but you don't?
Oh, this sounds like a diary.
There you go.
You know, but you have no idea.
No. We begin. These are nothing but songs you think you know what they mean,
okay. But
they don't. And by the way, I'm trying like crazy to go out of my way to find out from the artist that this is what they mean instead of, well, I'm the guy on Rock School and this is what I say they mean. No,
yeah.
I went to the artist quote.
To the horse's mouth.
Right, to the horse's mouth. It's not that I just came up with this stuff. I went to say this is what they mean from the person who wrote it.
All right, what's the first one?
Baba O'Reilly from The Who.
Okay.
Teenage Wasteland.
Uh-huh.
It's only Teenage Wasteland. So it's got to be about drugs and drinking and the fact that the young people of today are killing themselves. Wrong.
What's it about?
It has nothing to do with drugs. It has nothing to do with drinking. Here's what it's about.
What?
The rock opera Tommy had just finished, and Pete Townshend was writing a brand new rock opera called The Lighthouse.
Okay.
It never came off. As a matter of fact, all the songs that were supposed to be in The Lighthouse came into the 1971 album, Who's Next?
Mm-hmm.
It was about a futuristic England where the government keeps control through something called the grid. Well, in this section of the rock opera, Teenage Wasteland is actually the country, the land that was destroyed by the government.
Oh.
So when he's saying Teenage Wasteland, he's not talking about teenagers, per se. He's talking about the fact that the countryside has been destroyed.
Oh.
Baba O'Reilly is not the name of a person per se. It's the compilation of two people. Baba is Mehar Baba, which at the time was Pete Townsend's spiritual leader, and O'Reilly.
Don't say it's Bill O'Reilly.
No. Okay. Is composer Terry Riley, that Townsend said was the inspiration for the song's instrumental break. You see, the song was never supposed to have a name. It was instrumental section where these kids were supposed to make their way across teenage wasteland.
Mm.
No drugs, no drinking. It's about a destroyed section of England.
Hey.
Sorry it doesn't mean what you thought it meant, but we're all Trojan horse songs today. Baba O'Reilly on Rock School.
And then it just stops.
It just quits. There you go. Teenage Wasteland, Baba O'Reilly's. A lot of people even call the song Teenage Wasteland because the lyric is so predominant inside of it. But nothing to do with drugs, nothing to do with drinking. It has to do with part of this thing called The Lighthouse, which never came to fruition. It was one of those that it seemed only Pete Townsend knew what in the world he was trying to do.
Hmm.
We move along. 1978, Foreigner, Double Vision. Double Vision. Well, you know, it's a rock band. Fill my eyes with that double vision.
Oh, it's got to be about some kind of substance that makes you see double.
Or you want to date twins.
Yeah.
I don't know. something like that. The double mint twins, something like that. No.
What's it about?
The band, this is right from their website. The band wrote the song after watching the 1977 Stanley Cup playoffs. Apparently, the New York Rangers had a goalie named John Davidson.
Okay.
And you can go on YouTube and watch it, by the way. The New York Rangers goalie, John Davidson, got into a fracas and was knocked out cold during the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, down like a bag of wet cement.
Okay.
Boom! That's it.
What?
That's what the song is about. Davidson's now a popular hockey analyst for ABC Sports. So when you hear Fill My Eyes with that double vision and you think it's really hip and cool and they're talking about, you know, lighting up a bowl and they're talking about maybe, you know, sort of skewing yourself for the evening. No, they're talking about a goalie getting whacked in the head so he can't see until tomorrow. Sorry.
Yay.
Here's Double Vision on Rock School. Foreigner, Double Vision, from the album of the same name. I had it. I mean, it's got the band on the front and sort of a Andy Warhol kind of purple on one side, kind of pink on the other side, kind of double visioned out. I loved Foreigner when they first came out. I had no idea they were writing songs about people getting clocked in hockey games. We move along. 1966, the Strawberry Alarm Clock. So you can think that that's kind of a psychedelic name. They had one big hit, Incense and Peppermints. Now, of course, what's that about? Incense and peppermints, the color of time. Got to be about, you know, something you would do for a woman that you love, a woman that you adore, right?
He's talking about spacey,
nice, wonderful. He talks about, you know, giving this to a lover, something like that, something, a present, a gift, something like that, right? That's, of course, what it's about, being nice.
It can't be, because it wouldn't be in this show.
No, it wouldn't be about this show. It's about drugs.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Incense and peppermint, specifically it's about LSD. You used to make these little tabs, these little things, the little pieces of paper that carried the LSD, and then you would put it on top of something that would negate the taste.
Mm.
It would either be like a sugar cube or maybe peppermint. Or maybe something that had sort of a taste of something else, and then you would maybe have incense in the background and such. So when you were going on an LSD trip, you would have something, incense, peppermints, and such. The entire song is a set of drug references. Strawberry Alarm Clock, incense, and peppermints. The color of time, clocks melting over top of the couch because you happen to be tripping badly.
Dude, stop. You're messing with my head.
On Rock School.
Your mind, incense and peppermints, the color of time. Who cares what games we choose?
Kind of sounds like the Partridge Family here
at
the end.
Yeah. Man.
I know that that was such a decent representation because they even gave the Timothy Leary statement there in the middle of the song, tune on, tune in, you know? I'm not even sure that was a decent representation. Since we're talking drug songs, what do you say we do one from the Talking Heads? Doesn't quite tip it right off the beginning, but when you hear what a song's about, then you listen to the lyrics, makes a little bit more sense. 1 minute, Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about Trojan horse songs today. Songs you were just positive you knew the meaning of, but...
But you don't.
That's not quite it. When I read this one, this was one that was in the book that I was actually reading, and I thought to myself, I have always thought that that song was different than this. Talking Heads from the album in 1985, Little Creatures, And She Was.
Mm-hmm.
Name of the song's And She Was, and I always thought to myself, I thought this was sort of an homage to a woman that David Byrne knew, that because you listen to it, and he's sort of praising her, and I thought this was a woman he knew, this is a woman he dated once, this was a woman that he has high praise for, And She Was. No, this is a song about an acid trip. According to David Byrne, it was written specifically about a girl he knew once who used to take LSD trips in a field next to the Yoo-Hoo Drink Factory in Baltimore, Maryland.
Good Lord.
I don't even know. I listen to the lyrics. See if you can pick out the actual meaning to it. So here you go. And She Was on Rock School.
Absolutely. When you think you got somebody figured out.
I still, honest to goodness, when I read that, because there's this place on the web that I go to where everybody goes in and they're able to say, I think the song means this, I think the song means this. It's Song Facts. And I don't remember whether it's com or org or what have you, but it's songfacts.something. Go and take a look for it. And because I read it in this book and I went, is that really it? And I go and I'm seeing all of these quotes and I'm thinking, I don't get it. Where does the Yoo-Hoo factory come in and all of that? I guess he himself said it because I found it on Wikipedia and two or three other places. And I always liked that song. And then when I read it, what it was about, I kind of had that Michael Stipe moment that I talked about. Speaking of Michael Stipe, how about one from R.E.M.?
Yeah, good segue.
This is from 1991 album Document. This is the one I love. Now, when most people listen to this, this is what kind of happened with the Police's song, Every Breath You Take. People listened to it, they looked at the title, and they immediately took it as a love song.
Yeah, yeah.
This one goes out to the one I love.
Oh, that's a love song.
Oh, that's great. Let's play it at our wedding. No. Listen to the lyrics. It's not a song about loving someone. It's a song about using someone. The line in it that should tip you off is, you are a simple prop to occupy my time.
Yeah, that's not nice.
This one goes out to the one I love. Even Michael Stipe has said, in the research that I did, he said that people have basically refused to even take the song for what it's about. Mm-hmm. They've sort of adopted it. Look, it's a love song to me. I don't care what you originally meant it to be. It's a love song to me. Again, police have said the same thing about Every Breath You Take.
And Michael Stipe himself will never admit to anything that a song of his means, because he's openly said, I like to leave the song open for your own interpretation.
Yeah, but I mean, a simple prop to occupy my time. You know, if a line in a song says, you stink, you smell, and I hate you, there's not a whole lot of interpretation to that. This one's pretty straightforward, but some people won't let it go. So if you want to take this as a love song, more power to you. It isn't. It's about using somebody. But one more time, REM, the one I love, on Rock School.
This one goes out to the one I've left behind.
Beautiful. Hey, do you ever watch the Food Network? You ever watch that?
No.
There's a show on there called Good Eats with a guy named Alton Brown.
Okay.
Do you know it at all?
Nope.
Well, I wish you did, because that would make this fact a whole lot more interesting. Alton Brown was the videographer who did the video for that song.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big fan of Good Eats, and since you don't know the show, that really kills that bit. So, welcome to the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe Burns. He's... Say your name.
Oh, that's
see, I point at you. This is radio. What do you mean? Hit you? Here, there. Say your name.
Chad Pete. I missed the cue.
Professional radio done while you wait. Tell us all about the website, Chad P.
Okay.
Since I screwed it up last week, I'm handing it to you.
No problem. KSLU.org. There is a chalkboard on the right-hand side called Rock School. If you click on that, it takes you right to our site where you can find past episodes in the archives, pictures of the good doctor and myself. My brother is up there from a nonprofit fundraiser that we did a while back here, and bios on the good doctor and myself, all kind of great stuff. Good stuff.
And tell us about the email address, because I don't know it.
You're just plopping everything on me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I missed that one cue. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Send us an emailio.
Yeah.
And let us know what you think. Give us some show topics, because we're running out.
That's right. No, we're not. I have tons of them.
Oh, okay.
I have tens of them. We're talking about Blister in the Sun here for the Stump, the Violent Femmes from the 1982 album, The Violent Femmes.
Love this song.
Most people look at this song and they go, oh, it's a drug song, because he says,
well, he does
say, high as a kite, yes. I'm so strung out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he also says, you know, I stain my sheets, I don't even know why. My girlfriend, she's at the end, she's starting to cry. It's obviously about drugs. Well, it is about drugs, but it's not about being on drugs.
Okay.
It's about getting off of drugs.
Okay.
It's the complete opposite of what people think, according to Gordon Gano. Is that how you say the name?
Yes.
Gano?
Mm-hmm.
He states it is about drugs, but if you listen to it, he talks about his hands being real big, and he talks about staining his sheets and all of that. He's not high. He's coming down off of them. He's in withdrawal. You know, can't talk, coming down. My girlfriend, she's at the end. She's starting to cry. I mean, he's withdrawing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he staining his sheets? Well, he's sweating right through them. That's the thing. It's not a happy tune. He's not, you know, woohoo, I feel good, I'm high. He's not. He's on the opposite end of it. He's in a bad way.
That makes sense.
In the backside of it. So
okay.
Those who think it's a, yeah, get high, not. It's boom. It's bad news. He's on the backside of it. So time for the Stump.
Bad news for you.
Okay.
Okay. Blister in the Sun.
Yes.
What ABC sitcom, which ran from 1998 to 2001, used this song as the theme for their first season?
Oh, the girl. Oh, what was the name of the silly thing? I know they sold it to Wendy's, which actually started the breakup of the band.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Life. The so-called The so-called life.
You're thinking of my so-called life?
Is it my so-called life?
No, it's not.
No, what is it?
It was originally called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, and then they just dropped the Pizza Place, and it became Two Guys and a Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it.
That was a terrible show.
I watched it for a
while. My so-called life was actually a better show.
But that wasn't the answer.
I'm sorry.
I'm asking you what was a better show.
You know what? I'll give you one real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
What was the name of the soundtrack that this appeared on? John Cusack film.
Oh, hold on.
Wait a minute. Do it. I'm just saying do it.
It's not High Fidelity.
No, it's not.
It's the other one.
Starts with a G.
Yeah.
Gross Point Blank. There you go.
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
Yeah,
sponsored by
sponsored by Gross Point Blank. The soundtrack. Isn't that just simplicity?
Yeah.
Wonderful simplicity.
Yes.
Is there even a bass in there, or is it just a guitar and a snare drum?
It sounds like an acoustic bass almost.
Is there one in there?
If there is one, yeah.
I mean, just beautiful, mm-hmm. Absolute simplicity at best. Murray Head. One Night in Bangkok, back from 1984. When most people hear this tune, they listen to it and they go, oh, it's about the debauchery of Bangkok, as they talk about oriental tea rooms and massage parlors and how things are bad over there and you can get all this terrible stuff and sin and all of that.
I hate it when people overcomplicate something.
It has nothing to do with that. Listen to the lyrics. This was originally a song that would start off a concept album for the musical Chess. A musical. The music was written by two guys from ABBA. Bjorn, I'm not even going to try to say his last name, and Benny Andersson. Lyrics are by Tim Rice. Tim Rice, yeah, the guy who writes for, you know, Broadway. It is not about going to Bangkok for sin. The main guy, the guy who's singing, is going to Bangkok to play a game of chess. Listen to the lyrics. It basically, he's talking to people in Bangkok who want him to perform sin. He even states, I'd let you watch. I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you. He's being said, come with me. Let's go to the massage parlor. Let's go to this. No, you're talking to a tourist whose every move is among the purest. Listen, the guy who's singing has nothing to do, wants nothing to do with the sinful side of Bangkok. He just wants to play chess. Take a listen. One Night in Bangkok, Murray Head, Rock School.
Bangkok, oriental setting in the city, don't know what the city is getting. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland. Next to
me. Bum. Love it. One
Leave
night
me
in Bangkok.
Alone. I just want to play chess.
I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine. Okay, when we come back from the break, once and for all, I'm going to put this to bed.
What?
This. My wife listens to this song, and she looks at me, and she's like, why don't you ever say things like this? Why don't you ever say things like that, like Eric Clapton said?
Oh, we're not going to play that Wonderful Tonight song.
Honey, if you knew what that song was about, you would never want to hear it again. So you ladies who go, play Wonderful Tonight, do you really know what it's about? I'll tell you when we get back in 1 minute on Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about Trojan horse songs, meaning songs that you think you know what they mean, but they mean something completely
now,
different.
Are you sure you want to do this? We're charting into enemy territory right here.
I know I'm going to catch heck for this because my wife listens to these shows. When I, you know, you burn these onto a CD,
mm-hmm.
and I put them on my iPod so I can listen, and then I hand them to her and I say, here, you know, listen to this because she, you know, she drives down to New Orleans to go to work,
right.
and she you know, listens, and then she comes back and she tells me how bad the show was, and I say sorry.
Mrs. Burns' bad side is not a land that I want to venture into.
it's not that bad.
I'm on her good side right now.
It's bright and scary. So, okay. 1978 album Slow Hand, Eric Clapton, Wonderful Tonight. It plays in the women's swoon. It's a love song. Yes, my darling, you look wonderful tonight.
I think it's about him being drunk.
No.
It's time to go home now. I've got an aching head.
Yeah.
Because I drank too much.
No.
That's not it.
The song is written for Patty Boyd. And you probably know the story. Patty Boyd, he and Patty Boyd got married after Patty Boyd divorced George Harrison.
Yeah.
Patty Boyd took forever to get ready.
Okay.
Forever. She was never on time. It drove him up a tree. Go ahead and look this up if you think I'm making this up. Feel free. Go Wikipedia this. Look this up. When he's saying, yes, you look wonderful tonight. You look wonderful tonight.
Oh,
Can we leave already? Yes. Well, look it up. If you think I'm lying, go look it up. Yes, you look wonderful tonight. You look at, maybe I should change into another dress. No! You look what? Can we go already? So if you take this song for the meaning it was created for... Your man's not in love with you.
He's mad at you.
Can we please go? It's Eric Clapton on Rock School. Dead man, Chad, aren't I?
Sure are. But you know what?
That's really what it was written for. Now, I understand it's only the first verse that hits that, but that's what it was written for.
I'm going to call foul on the third verse. If you've got an aching head and you give your lady the car keys and she puts you to bed, obviously you've had a little too much.
Yes.
You can be grateful all you want. You look at her and say, my darling, you were wonderful tonight. You'll say, my darling, you...
Now.
I'll be back.
Now. Let's not get back to your dating days. We move back to 1968, the White Album, Beatles. Martha, my dear.
Right.
A lot of people listen to this, and they put all of these little things in here from, Jane Asher is basically what it comes into. You got Paul McCartney, he was marrying Jane Asher, was supposed to marry Jane Asher. Martha, my dear, you listen to the lyrics and you think it's about him attempting to convince a lover to stay around. Martha, my dear, stick around, I'm sorry. Apparently, it's about the fact that Jane Asher caught him in bed with another woman. And then there's a line in there where he says, help yourself to a bit of what is all around you.
What?
So supposedly when Jane Asher caught him, he said, why not join us?
Join us, won't you?
Oh, yes, why don't you? Ah, ha, 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 ha. None of this is right.
Oh, okay.
Martha, my dear. Do you know who Martha is?
No.
It's his English sheepdog.
What?
This song is written to, for, and about Paul McCartney's English sheepdog, Martha, on Rock School. Are you familiar with the video?
Serious?
Yeah, it's about a dog. Are you familiar with the video for Free as a Bird? You know, the song that was re-released after John Lennon's death? Watch it. They have all these little clues in there for all these different Beatles songs. You see Martha run across a field. There she is, Martha, my dear.
You are my inspiration.
It's a dog.
Martha, my dear, be good to me.
Yeah, it's about his dog. I'm not even kidding you. Go ahead and look it up. It's about his English sheepdog.
Musicians.
I kid you not. Well, you know, if you're the Beatles after a while, you know, what can I sing about?
Spumoni!
I love that lamp over there. What about this carpet? We're going to finish on a song. I got to tell you, we almost didn't play this. Chad looked at the playlist and went, why don't you play Lola?
Yeah,
I was going to finish
Lola
on another one, but
I
think everybody knows Lola isn't really about a girl.
Well, no.
Lola's about a transvestite. It's about a specific story. Ray Davies of the Kinks wrote the song after their manager got absolutely tanked at a club and started dancing with, you know, someone he thought was a woman. And towards the end of the night, you know, the 5 o'clock shadow started coming out, and it was pretty obvious. Say, you're not Debbie, you're Dan. And the manager was just simply too tanked to notice. So, and that's where the song came from. Here's another little neat piece of information. Do you remember when I played Kodachrome and I told you that the BBC would not play songs that had what do you call it? Trademark names
like
in them.
Product placement in
right.
It. Yeah.
The line says, it's where you drink champagne, it tastes just like Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you'll hear it and it'll say you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola.
Okay.
You see, they weren't going to get it played on the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was Ray Davies had to spin around and re-record the lyric to cherry cola.
So that must have been a time when cherry cola was not...
was not Water. A trademark run.
Okay.
So the real Lola apparently exists. I mean, her name was Candy Darling. His name was Candy. I don't know what you're supposed to say. Candy Darling was the name. It was a famous drag queen that was part of Andy Warhol's entourage. And as a matter of fact, if you'd like, you can listen to Lou Reed's song, Take a Walk on the Wild Side,
mm-hmm.
and you'll hear in there the line, and Candy says.
Mm.
That's Lola.
Hey.
That's Lola.
All
so
right.
We finish. It's not a song about a loving woman.
No.
It's a song about a transvestite.
A loving man.
Lola, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like Coca-Cola, cherry cola.
That's
my name is
good.
Joe Burns. Who are you?
I'm Chad P.
That's the show. Class is dismissed.
I met her in a club down in North Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A, cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to